Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Stonebridge Church Podcast. Here at Stonebridge, our goal is to lead people into a real, healthy, and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to join us live, we hold services every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:05 a.m. at 1 Stonebridge Church Drive in the Woodlands, Texas. We invite you to check out our website at gostonebridge.com and follow us on Twitter, where our handle is at SBChurch, and give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/gostonebridge.
This week, Pastor Brian Dunn continues to teach from our series, Make It the Greatest. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
All right, awesome. Well, good morning. 2018, is that for real? Are we here? I think we are. So happy new year to everybody. We're off and running. We are beginning a new series we're in now called Great Expectations. And kind of just to let you guys know the format today, I'll be kind of short, be a shorter message. I know some of y'all are like, yeah. And then we're going to have Lord's Supper together, and then Steve's going to come up and share a little bit after that. So that'll be kind of what's coming ahead. But yeah, I think it's that time of year where maybe some of us, we've thought about those New Year's resolutions. We've maybe, has anybody actually not only made New Year's resolutions, but written them down as well? Can raise your hand. Anybody like really? All right, a few of you guys. We got about 20 that have not given up hope yet. Everybody else is like, forget it. We've all grown cynical. Now, this will be a real confession time. Has anybody already made a resolution and already broken it and given up on it? January 7th, anybody? All right. Oh, I may have seen one hand back there. So, yeah, so it is funny. Like I kind of go through waves, too, about I'm just not going to do it this year. I'm giving up on it. But there is something in me. There's something about newness, a new year. A new hope, you know, maybe I can do some things better this year, maybe achieve some things this year, and so I think it's an appropriate focus, that whole idea of great expectations, to kind of think about that and figure that out. So I have started writing down some goals and been reading a new book and trying to get motivated again, and so I think it's a good thing to think about. In the midst of making resolutions, I think there is a temptation that sometimes that we can fall into, and I wrestle with this. There is that constant temptation in me to think, man, maybe this year, 2018, if I actually accomplish that goal that I've been trying to accomplish for the last 20 years or however long, or if I actually get that or do that with my finances or do that in my relationship, maybe if I actually do it and I could check it off, then there's going to be this fulfillment, this satisfaction that I'm finally going to arrive, this kind of mountaintop that I'm going to just be able to coast on because I finally achieved that goal. And I think we have to be careful with that one. I don't want to discourage anybody from setting goals. I think it's healthy, it's good, but I just think we have to realize, keep them in perspective. What ultimately is going to bring us satisfaction this year? And that's kind of what I want to take a few minutes to look at. If you want to turn in your Bible, I want to just really look at the opening verse of one of Jesus' most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. And if you want to turn, it's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. And we've come to know this first section as the Beatitudes that Jesus talks about. But as we begin this year, I think it's a good place for us to focus. In verse 3, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I'm just going to stop there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I just want to make a few observations about that opening statement that Jesus makes. And before I do, I think it's important for us to understand that word poor, because for us, we kind of lose the original meaning. In the Greek, there was actually a couple different words they might have used for poor. One of them is somebody that is kind of lower income, that has a job, but it doesn't really pay much, and they kind of just scrape by. They kind of just get by. And so that would be one word for poor. But that's not the word Jesus uses here. He uses a very extreme word for poverty in this one. The word Jesus used literally means somebody who is a desperate beggar. Someone that their whole hope of surviving is completely dependent on someone else meeting their needs. They have no job. They have no way of generating any income for themselves. Their only hope is to be on the streets desperate for someone to bless them, someone to give them food, or someone to share some money with them. And that's the word that Jesus uses here for poor. It's a pretty powerful word. And so I want to just think about, so he says, blessed are those who are like desperate beggars in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And so the first observation I'd love to make, and by the way, I probably should point this out. Some of y'all are like looking at your outline thinking, you ain't talking about these Bible verses, are you? Have you lost your mind? No, I am not. We pulled an audible this morning. And so just consider your handout today a wonderful gift. It's got some wonderful Bible verses in it that you can read on your own this week. And I promise you that God can still speak to those as well. I'm just not going to focus on those particular passages today. So thank you for your patience with that. But yeah, I want to look at just a couple observations about this idea of what does it mean for us to be a desperate beggar before God? I think the first one, if you want to jot something down, it's our relationship with God begins here. Our relationship with God begins here with this understanding. And I want to look at another probably pretty familiar passage to a lot of us in Ephesians chapter 2. If you want to look at that with me, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. So we think about the beginning of a relationship with God. Starting in verse 1 of Ephesians 2, it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And it's real simple. I think this idea of being a desperate beggar means that apart from what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today, we have no hope in our own efforts. Just like a desperate beggar in this type of poverty had no job, had no source of income, had no way of meeting their own needs, we cannot meet our own needs spiritually. And if we're on that track, we're going to be forever frustrated, trying to be good enough. You know, there's a great book that Andy Stanley wrote, real short, just called How Good Is Good Enough? You know, and if you ask the typical person out on the street, you just go up to somebody and say, how do you get into heaven? That's usually the answer is something to the effect of, you just have to be good enough. You have to be better than that person, or your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, something like that. And Jesus immediately goes right towards that, saying, look, when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to spiritual life, there's only one way. It's to come to God saying, God, I can bring nothing to the table. My best efforts really are like rubbish. God, the only hope I have is to come and receive what you've done for me. And that's what Ephesians 2 is saying. It's saying that we were dead. That's a strong word. Like dead, you can't do anything when you're dead. There's no pulse. There's nothing. There's nothing a dead person can do. And God's using really strong language that our only hope is to receive what he's done for us. And so I think as we begin this new year, that's a good thing for us to remember, is that our relationship with God begins here with this idea that we are a desperate beggar and we have to receive by grace what he's done for us. We receive it by faith, and it's through grace. And then here's a second observation. Our relationship with God continues here. It begins here, and it continues. There is this ongoing sense that if we don't understand it, we're going to be frustrated, that every step, we a lot of times we talk about walking with God. And I love that picture because walking is step by step, that I am depending on God just like a beggar depends on someone to meet their needs. And if we want to live fulfilled in 2018, we have to come to this place where we're daily depending and walking with him. I love this simple verse. If you want to flip over a couple books to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It's a great little memory verse. It says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." So it's saying, not only is it enough to have that initial point where you come to God and say, "God, I can no longer, I realize I can't be good enough. I need to receive into my life what you've done for me through the cross, through what Jesus did for me." That's step one, is we receive that. But then it says from there, we have to walk in that. Every day, we walk in that. We've been in our Sunday morning Bible study classes, we've been looking through the book of Exodus over the last couple months or so. And it's a fascinating story. It's where Moses leads all the Israelites who are in slavery, and there's all the plagues. How many of y'all have seen, like, The Prince of Egypt, some of those movies, right? So we're a lot of miraculous things. And eventually, they wind up in this wilderness of Sinai. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever looked at any, like, Google Earth images of that area, but it looks pretty much how I would envision Mars. It looks totally like a foreign planet. Like, it just looks totally destitute. And so God brings his people for 40 years into this place, this wilderness, where I've seen images where I can't even find a bush, a tree, a plant, a McDonald's, a Chipotle, nothing. I mean, there is nothing there, right? It is just absolutely this desert wasteland. And it's like, why did God bring them? You know, it's kind of like, we finally released you, we're all excited, and now you brought us to a wilderness? A desert that's just this horrible, hot place with nothing here. And I believe that he was wanting to teach them how to daily, step by step, depend on him, just like a beggar would depend on someone else to meet their needs. It's so hard for us. We want to get the credit. We want to know that we earned it, we worked at it, we meet our own needs. It's so counterintuitive for us, right, to say, no, God's the one that meets my needs. And yet he was teaching them that. You guys, we'll be interactive for a second. You guys remember if God created a menu, there's a couple of menu items that he had for them out in the wilderness. Anybody remember the first menu item that he served them? Manna. Yes, thank you, right there. Bonus points. So manna, right? And so God, you know, gave him this this white stuff. And I love the word manna in the original language. Literally means, what is this stuff? Yeah, that's just great. That's a great translation. What is this? Let's call it, what is this stuff? And they were sustained by that. God met their needs. When they thought there was no hope, God said, just trust me. And then later, how many, we have any bird hunters in here? Any hunters? A couple of you guys, right? So God then brings them some bird, some bacon jalapeno wrapped quail. He delivers for them on this huge grill. Well, maybe I added that part. But he brought him quail. He brought him protein and meat to also meet their needs. He brought them water from the rock and from an oasis in different places. He knew exactly what they needed. And that is a powerful lesson still for us as we think about depending on God daily as a beggar. And I don't know about you, but every day there are situations where I'm like, God, I don't know what to do. God, I feel like I'm walking through a desert and I need wisdom from you. Or there's those days where I can drink 20 cups of coffee and I'm still exhausted, right? And you're just like, God, I need your strength today. Would you just give me what I need? And God wants us to live that way, where we're depending on him step by step. And here's the last thing, is there's this recurring word throughout the Beatitudes. It's the word blessed, or blessed if you want to sound really spiritual, blessed. But it over and over, Jesus is saying, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. That's a powerful word. And it's really hard to kind of capture in one English word, but it has the idea of happiness, of deep satisfaction in your soul. It kind of relates also just to shalom, the Hebrew idea of peace and well-being. But Jesus is saying, if you want ultimate, and really I think it's what we're all chasing. It's what we're chasing sometimes when we're trying to accomplish a certain amount of stuff, we're trying to obtain this or get this. It's that part of us maybe at New Year's when we're kind of looking back on the year before and thinking, man, there's a lot of unsatisfaction, dissatisfaction in this past year. I want to try to find it this year. Jesus is saying, hey, if you want it, it is in me. It is in learning to come to me step by step, beginning that relationship. There's this satisfaction we find in him. I listened to a guy recently, and I love the way he said it. He says, sometimes you can tell in the way you pray where you're finding your satisfaction. But this was interesting. He said, if your prayers are always just sort of a laundry list of God fix this, God do this, God make this happen, there might be an indicator of, am I looking for God to fix a certain situation or just give me what I think I want? Am I focusing my happiness on that? Or is it enough for me? Is God himself enough for me? That no matter what I'm walking through, no matter what I face, God's the one that's giving me that blessedness, that deep satisfaction. That's an incredible place to get to. And I just want to challenge us as a church, let's strive to go to that place this year. And I think we have to cultivate that. Daily, we have to say, God, I just want to, my objective, my agenda today is to get to know you. Just like Paul said, I want to get to a place where I can consider all these things I've accomplished or all these other things I might chase as rubbish compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I believe that is what will satisfy me. So Jesus is saying that to us. He's saying, blessed are you when you come to God as that desperate beggar and you begin a relationship at that place, receive his gift of salvation, and that you daily walk dependently upon him in that place. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. And I think it's, to me, it's an appropriate response to us thinking about this. When we celebrate and we take communion together, it's really a reminder of this incredible gift that God has given us. We come to the table as beggars today. We don't come to the broken body of Christ and the blood that's been poured out for us at the cross as saying, yeah, aren't you glad to have me on your team, God? Aren't you glad to see what I've brought to the table today? No, today we come in surrender and saying, wow, God, you did this for me. And just gratitude for what he has done. And so as we think about that, I'm going to pray for us. And we're going to participate here in the Lord's Supper as the worship band comes back up and our praise team. And but I just want us to come to that place where we're saying, God, I just want to start 2018 in a place of dependence on you. And maybe today that means beginning a relationship. Maybe there's someone in here you've never begun that relationship with Christ. And maybe for some of us, we're chasing some other things for happiness. And we just want to say, God, I want to commit to finding my satisfaction in you today as we take the Lord's Supper together. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this incredible gift that you have poured out for us, that we could never in a million years, a billion years, ever earn possibly. We could never be good enough. And so, Lord, we just want to come to you today as grateful beggars, receiving this gift that you've given us. So, Lord, as we worship you, as we reflect even on this song, Man of Sorrows, as a reminder of what you've done for us, may we come with grateful hearts to receive this gift.